Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting... Oh! Let him play!
He wins. Great steak. Smells like poop.
Honestly, like if Urban Meyer wants to come to Connecticut,
bring him on. I mean, come on. I'll take him too.
Nia Jackson, I think, weighs 280 pounds.
Oh!
Can we isolate that clip? Nia Jax weighs 280 pounds. Oh!
Let her play.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big basketball show. Good to have you with us from the Dave in the City studios in sunny Southern California. We're ready to start our first of many, many NBA reports for the 2019 and 20 season. And Chris and Georgia will be there for all of it with yours truly, Dave in the City. I'm glad to have you with us here. And we hope that you're enjoying all the shows that we've had. We've been off and on for a lot of reasons. We've taken some weeks off, and we're going to take another one off. Next week, we will not have a regular show, but I will invite you to listen to our next Best of DITCOW program, our latest DITCOW retrospective. The top five DITCOW episodes of 2017 comes your way next week on this podcast feed. Listen for it on Apple Podcasts or at DITCOW.com. But for this week, the week of the 12th, 13th, 14th, we are going to do two shows. We got our NBA show tonight, and then we have our football pick show the next day. So tomorrow, listen for that, and we should be good to go. And then, as I mentioned, since we're not on next week, we'll just do those picks as written picks at DITCOW.com. So all the picks will be at DITCOW.com, regardless of whether we do a program or not. But we should have a program this time around to recap a really thrilling LSU-Alabama game and a very big Minnesota performance against the number four at the time team in the land, Penn State. And now Penn State is much lower than that, and Minnesota has moved themselves further up, but not into that top four yet. It's going to take some more effort. More on that tomorrow. But tonight we get into basketball. Big news to start from the world of college basketball, which also started over the last couple of weeks. Number one Kentucky loses at home, 67-64 to Evansville, out of, I believe, the Missouri Valley Conference. Don't quote me, but that is a team that not known for defense, and that team goes out to Rupp Arena and beats the Wildcats. That is sending shockwaves throughout the world of basketball, and it's all anybody's talking about in the college ranks tonight. So that's a big story to start us off this evening. Some other news from sports, but we'll get into that later. But we'll get now to the NBA. A lot to talk about tonight. What we're going to do is we're going to get into the conversation of load management. And whether this is a big trend or whether it's just much ado about little. Then we're going to talk about the 2019-20 rookies so far. And then Chris and I will give you our three surprise teams in the NBA so far. We may even have a shared one. So... It's a big one tonight. We have a lot to talk about here in the NBA, and we begin our season of the NBA report with quite a lot of juice. Let's jump it. The NBA report for November 12th. Here's some news to start us off. The Rockets guard Eric Gordon is going to miss 6 weeks due to knee surgery, we believe. And also missing significant time in the near future, the Celtics forward Gordon Hayward. He broke his hand during a game against the Spurs over the last weekend, and he is expected to miss 6 weeks as well. Positive news on the injury front. Paul George is now recovered and healthy, ready to play. He is expected to make his Clippers debut on Thursday night. And behind the scenes, the Brooklyn Nets team CEO David Levy and the Nets mutually agree to part ways. So that's how we started tonight, as we get into all that's news in the NBA. So to do that, of course, we bring in our co-host for the evening, Chris and Georgia. How's it going, Chris? Welcome back.
Thank you, Dave. Thanks for having me, as always. Appreciate it. I have not been following the college basketball, so I did not see that Kentucky lost. So that is a big deal, but it's still early. But that's surprising loss to Evansville. Wow. Really.
Yeah, I know. Of all the teams, it's just not the kind of team I would think of upsetting Kentucky like that. And apparently, Kentucky was ranked number one in the nation going into that game, which I don't think the ranking is so surprising. But I did think for a bit that it was going to be Michigan State. I thought maybe it was going to be somebody else, but they ranked Kentucky. Or I thought it might have even been Memphis this year because of the number one recruit, but they decided to go. Kentucky was ranked number one going into the week, so I guess the ranking changed a bit over the, you know, because they played. I think they're in week maybe three of the season now, maybe two. I don't know, but yeah. Either way, that's a big upset. There's no doubt. I think they were a 25-point underdog, Evansville tonight, and they went out and won outright. So that would have netted some serious money if anybody was bold enough to take the money line in that game. So, which means basically betting Evansville to win straight up. I mean, that's crazy. So, but in the NBA, we had a pretty exciting game in its own right. We had the Cavaliers, who started pretty well. Going into the game, they were 4-5, and the Sixers were, I think, they were like 6-1, 7-1, or maybe 7-2 when the game tipped off, and it was a very good game, but a very dubious ending. And Chris, I mean, you got to give it to the Cavs for keeping this thing very interesting, but it's very disappointing to really think about how they really threw this one away.
Yeah, well, it was pretty nip and tuck there at the end. I didn't see the first half at all. I turned it on the second half, but they were holding their own, and the Sixers are back at full strength. So Embiid played, Simmons played, everyone was back. I mean, the Sixers had nothing. You know, and they were at home too, so they would have nothing to complain about. And the Cavs played them tough. I mean, you got to give them credit; they did a good job.
Yeah, they did. They did. I mean, I'm going to have more to say about the Cavs, and you'll see why as we get in further into the program. But I was very. I mean, that last play where they didn't even try to get the ball to the basket. When they were only down by 1 point, they lost, what was it, 89-88 or 88-87? I can't remember which one it was, but
98-97.
Oh, 98-97. Thank you. Thank you. I knew there was some 8 and 7 and 9 in there. So
yeah, yeah. you were almost on the money.
Yeah. All right. So you got the digits right, but yeah. So it's like that was ridiculous. Like, I don't know what they were thinking in that one, Chris.
Yeah. It was. It didn't look like a well-conceived play, and it ended up in Love's hands. And Love actually got a good look and shot the three, but the timing, I mean, they had plenty of time left. They had about probably 8 seconds when he shot the ball. And, you know, they, like I said, he did have a good look, so give him credit for that. But I would have tried to get closer, maybe draw a foul, or try to draw a foul, make the Sixers sweat it out a little bit. And as it turned out, the Sixers didn't get the rebound, but neither did the Cavs, and the ball just kind of rolled around the floor for about 6 seconds, and then time expired. So, yeah, I mean, if you're the Cavs, you got to be a little disappointed because you played them so tough. And you don't come away with the big win. So – it would have been a nice win, though, considering it's on the road, and they've had a nice little start to the season for them. So, I mean, you and I were saying, or maybe it was just me, I won't put words in your mouth, but I thought this was a horrendous team, and so far they've come out of the gate pretty strong.
Oh yeah, the Cavs. Yeah, yeah. I'm really. It's pretty damn impressive. And again, I really. This is actually going to lead into something I'm going to get into later in the show, but I kind of like what I see. I think I've watched a couple games of theirs. It might just be a hot start because, you know, you do see that sometimes. Like Memphis had a hot start 1 year, and then they tanked, and then the coach got fired. So it doesn't necessarily carry over, but you certainly see some talent with the Cavs. More I don't want to do now. Let's talk about that later because it's going to be part of the later part of the show. So let's begin then with, I guess I'll give you a couple of updates from the scoreboard. I know that when we do this, it's so weird for the people listening because it's like the day after. They already know the games are over. But for us, it just shows that they bring some context to when we get into games that are in progress as we record the program. Because sometimes there's some weird things happening in the NBA and wacky stuff and pretty wild stuff. So, oh man. So, we have right now. Let's see. That really was the most notable game. I mean, your Hawks, Chris, are giving the Nuggets a tough game though in Denver. It's only a 1-point game, and it looks like they went on a big run to take the lead there in the second quarter. The Nets have a 40-36 lead on the Jazz, but remember, this is early. The Brooklyn is not that good. We're coming to find out. Let's see. The Bulls and the... No, who cares about the Knicks and the Bulls? And then the Lakers and the Suns. You know, a battle of two teams that are out of the gate pretty hot, and it's tied up at 40-40 with about half of the second quarter elapsed. So keep an eye on that one because the Suns have been playing pretty well. They beat the Clippers. And if they beat the Lakers as well, that is an incredible, you know, strength of victory for them, for the Phoenix Suns. So really good stuff.
Break up the Suns.
I know. They suspended. See, this has all happened before when between the our preview show and now, but they suspended
Ayton
for how many games was it? 20, 30, 40?
I can't remember. I've got 25. In my head, but I think
John Collins.
I can't remember what I think it was about the same.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So maybe it was both of them. So John Collins and DeAndre Ayton, were both suspended 25 games for PED violations, which in the NBA is absurd. It's like you have to be a clown to get a PED suspension in the NBA. So that was pretty bad. So,
yeah, I can't remember a PED suspension in the NBA. It's been a while, right? I remember when Turkoglu, but that's probably been over 10 years.
Is that
now,
really
right?
10 years ago? I thought it was sooner than that. I think that's what I'm thinking of too.
I don't know. It feels like it's been a while. When was the last time you saw Hidu Turkoglu in a game? It's been a long time.
I remember the last time I could remember him was like in the 2009 NBA Finals. That was 10 years ago. Yeah.
I don't know. It's that took me by surprise.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's not the kind of guy that you think would be taking PEDs. Like, he's just, like, got, I don't know, like a beer belly and whatever and is shooting threes and just never comes to mind he'd be on some kind of performance enhancer.
That's so, right.
All right. So, that's what we have on the scoreboard. So, if anything gets interesting, go ahead and let me know, Chris. And meanwhile, we get into the topics. We start with Kawhi Leonard and the saga of load management. And I think it's very interesting that the media were quick to point out that the Spurs were really the forerunners of load management, a.k.a. resting players in the middle of the regular season, even if it meant keeping guys out of important nationally televised games. And so, obviously, the NBA is taking notice because it's keeping, you know, they want to promote the sport, and this is really undermining that effort to promote the sport. But I don't think that Kawhi Leonard resting and, you know, taking games off to rest and, you know, preventative rest so that he doesn't get hurt seriously. And he does have like chronic knee stuff. So this is not just bullshit. Like, he really does have like ongoing lingering issues. And I can't really get on anybody for it. So, it's not, I don't think it's as outrageous as you might think. And further, I don't really know if it's more than that. In other words, it's not everybody's doing it. It's just the guys who really need to. And I think that's a special case with Kawhi Leonard. I mean, I'd rather he was playing more games, but honestly, the more you know about the situation, the more you realize why he's doing it. And it's like, you'd rather just do that rather than have himself burnt out and out of the league by 30. That would be no fun. So, to me, I mean, it's tough when you can't watch a game and you want to watch, like, you want to watch Kawhi versus Giannis and you can't because he just took that game off, or you want to watch him against Utah and he took that game off, but you get it. I mean, at the end of the day, the NBA's meat and potatoes is the playoffs, and that's where you really need him. You don't need him in November. So I don't know why people make it that big a deal out of it, but it's going to be a topic all year long. And I really think that it's not the start of a trend either. So, Chris, that's what I have to say about it. What do you think of Kawhi Leonard's rest so far?
Yeah, I'm totally with you. I don't really understand why it's a big deal. unless you're the person who bought tickets to the game in Salt Lake City and you were hoping to see the Clippers at full strength and you didn't. But, I mean, look, you saw them beat the Clippers. So, I mean, you're happy there. Or, you know, you paid good money to, you know, go to the Bucks game. But, yeah, I don't get it. I never really did. I feel like it's kind of been blown out of proportion. I mean, was there someone else who's been sitting? I mean, Kawhi sat out two games so far. I mean, so he's probably on pace to play, what, 65, 70 games? Maybe more than that. So, I mean, what's – I don't know. Is it that big a deal? I guess, you know, I mean, yeah, I guess maybe the one thing is, like, Clipper fans are annoyed. They've got three losses and two of them were without Kawhi. But, you know, you look at the flip side and, like, you know, look at how many injuries you've had so far. And, you know, as you pointed out, this is a guy who's had some serious knee injuries and they're already missing Paul George. You know, just slow and steady wins the race here. So I think we just got to calm down. It's something that never really bothered me. Although there was one time I took my nephew to a Cavs Hawks game. Actually, no, it was Cavs Hawks. And because he wanted to see LeBron, so I got good tickets. And turns out it was LeBron's birthday, so we're all fired up. And LeBron sat out that game. So we saw him. He was in street clothes, but we did not see him play. But, I mean, you know, you kind of get over that really quick. And the game was great. And Kyrie played really well. And it was, you know, it was one of those things. I mean, so, you know, so what? Who cares? It was, you know, I don't know. I feel like it gets totally blown up proportion. And I don't know. The less time we talk about it, the better, in my opinion.
Well, I think that's why I brought it up to start the show. Because I'm like, I don't really want to spend a lot of time on it. I just feel like it's a waste of time. It's a waste of time because, number one, the rest is a legitimate problem. Like, it's a legitimate concern. And so I don't really see the issue here in them acting on that. And number two, nobody's going to give a crap about these November games in June. Nobody.
Yep.
It's like, why are we making a big deal out of this? Like, the media is just finding something. So it's just finding an excuse to trash the NBA. And I just don't understand. I don't get it. Like, I think we're just wasting our time getting into this right now. Now, if it happens later in the season and they're in the middle of a race, all right, I get you. But it's freaking November. It's like this team is too good to not stay competitive all the way through the rest of the season.
Totally agree.
But anyway, so we'll move on from that. Let's get into the rookies. Who have been the rookies that have really stood out to you so far? I'll share with you mine as well.
Gosh, I mean, it's hard for me to say. I mean, I've watched enough of a sample, but I've been impressed with John Morant. He's been really, you know, good in terms of scoring. He's averaging like 24 points a game, almost six assists and a handful of rebounds. I'm trying to think, like, what I've seen of RJ Barrett. I mean, you watched the Knicks game, I think it was last night. I mean, he's looked good too. I mean, he's put up some nice stats. So I think, you know, I think those two guys jump out of me. I did see a game where Brandon Clark, also the Grizzlies, had a nice game in center. He was playing, and I can't remember who got hurt, but he put up some nice numbers. Just kind of solid. Looks like kind of a double-double machine, in my opinion. Just points, rebounds, probably average like 11 and 11. Just that kind of player. One more. PJ Washington of the Hornets has been great. Shooting the lights out with threes, just really doing a great job with threes and has really kind of helped the Hornets. I mean, just been a big part of their, shall we say, early season success. I mean, he's been really solid.
All right, so I'm going to give you mine. I agree with you, Ja Morant. That's a great call. I love Ja Morant. A couple others that I think have been really good. Darius Garland playing for, I think he's a rookie. He's playing for the Cavs.
He's a rookie, yeah, at Vanderbilt.
Yeah, he's fun to watch. Like, he's really got something going. And And then I would go with Rui Hachimura, who I saw play against the Cavs for the Washington Wizards.
Yeah, I have not seen the Wizards play once this year yet.
That's interesting, because I've beat you to the Wizards.
Yeah, I have not watched them a single time.
Even the game where like they both scored like 500 points together.
Yeah, no, I didn't.
No.
Yeah, the Beals had some sick games, and I've not seen them yet.
All right. Well, I know you'll get around to it for sure.
Yeah.
But when you do, you will see that Hachimura has got this really interesting pull-up jumper. And I like what I see. Did you mention P.J. Washington already?
I sure did, yeah.
Yeah, you did, okay. And Pascal for the Warriors?
Yeah, I was going to bring him up because he's an interesting case because, A, he's from he grew up not far from me in New York. He's from Westchester County. I grew up in the Bronx, but undrafted and has put up some nice numbers, especially, you know, with all the injuries they've had. But he graduated or went to Villanova, but prior to that, he went to Fordham, which is in the Bronx, and played there for 1 year and then transferred to Villanova and has done a nice job. I mean, I feel like his scoring is really good. Just need to see a little bit more out of him. His three-point shooting has come on the last few games, but he's still shooting under 30%. And just needs to do one more thing really well, like whether it's rebounds. If he could start hitting the three like with more regularity, I'd be really high on him. I like him because he can blow by guys, and he's kind of a fun guy to watch because of his body shape. He's a big dude. I don't even know who do I compare him to in terms of his physique, but he's pretty fun to watch. Sorry, long tangent there, and that was your player.
Yeah, no, I think you did the work for me. That's perfectly fine. Yeah, I think it's just one to watch. So we have a good rookie class this year, and it complements a good second year players class, which was also very good. We're gonna get to that in a minute, but I do want to mention that Zion Williamson has not played yet for the New Orleans Pelicans because he's still nursing injuries himself. When he does, he will complement this pretty good class so that we have, which I think is making the NBA much more competitive across the board. And I think the one thing I was thinking when I was walking home today from the bus stop, I was thinking the one thing I knew for sure that I don't seem to get, I don't seem to have the feel of any team, and it's early. I mean, we're not going to know for another 2 months, but I don't get the sense that anybody's tanking right now. Everybody seems to be trying to play hard, and they're giving people a game. Like, there doesn't seem to be an extremely easy team anywhere in the league so far, and it's early. But I feel like if you look at who these guys drafted and how players have come together, how young a lot of these teams are, it doesn't seem like anyone's really got incentive to tank for a draft pick yet. Now, in 3 months, we're going to have those teams, but right now, it doesn't look that bad. No, actually, we might have one. Right now, we have two actually. The Bulls and the Knicks. Maybe that game is significant. Wasn't there some report that somebody suggested that the loser of that game, like the coach, gets fired? I think it's a great idea. I think that's a really fun idea.
I haven't heard that. I mean, the Knicks would be thrilled because they're trying to get rid of Fizdale anyways.
Yes, but I that report is real. Like the other one was just long ago, but that report is a real report. There are rumblings that they're trying to get him out of there. And he's been with the team for, a year? Already they're trying to kick him out, but...
This is the Knicks. This is the culture they've created. I mean, I will say, well, just getting back to the tanking thing, like, my whole thing is, like, it's hard to get these guys to tank. I mean, these guys are, like, ultra competitive. How do you tell them, try not to win this game, you know? I mean, I don't fully understand that, particularly early in the season when everyone thinks, oh, look, you know, we're all 0-0, we got a chance. It's really hard, I think, to tell these guys not to play well or play hard. That said, I mean, the Knicks have kind of had a culture of tanking, at least in the last few years. I mean, pretty clearly, you know, bench guys or limited guys' minutes so that they could, you know, in the hopes of getting a Zion Williamson or what have you, in the draft. But yeah, I did not hear that story about loser fires their coach. I don't understand.
That's
how.
Not a real. That's just a fan's idea. Like they want. Yeah. They said they hoped that would happen. It was just an idea. It was just kind of making a joke, but it's a funny idea. And as you just mentioned, it's not like they aren't already thinking about that, because the Knicks are just looking for any reason to get rid of Fizdale. And I'm like, the thing of it is, I haven't watched enough Knicks to really know. But the people who have been watching the Knicks on Twitter have been saying that he's brutal. Now, Chris, from what you have seen, and I gather you can't, it could not have been much. What do you think of Fizdale's coaching ability on the Knicks? Coaching ability on the Knicks through the year or so that he's been on the team.
I mean, the Knicks fans are going to have a better grasp of this than me. But again, I look at it and I'm like, you know, the guys who want to fire him are the guys that put this team together, right? They're the guys who went out and signed like six power forwards in the offseason. The guard play is a mediocrity. I mean, you trade Porzingis, presumably to free up cap space so you can sign a big guy like a KD or a Kyrie or something like that. And then what happens? You don't sign any of them, and you just sign a bunch of, I mean, capable players, but really, you know, we're talking about like fillers, you know, complementary players like a Marcus Morris. You know, there's no plan there. And that's my problem, is that the guys who are wanting to fire him are the guys who put this awful team together. And I don't know what the answer is. I mean, I can't judge Fizdale. I mean, he's been an okay coach, I guess. But you know, Red Auerbach isn't getting them the 8th seed this year. So
that's true. That's, I mean, like, what, it's not like a coaching change would help the situation.
Yeah. And I say that about Porzingis, and I watched him last night and he looked awful. He really, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just kind of rust, but, I was not impressed with his game last night. But yeah, the Knicks are, I don't even know what to, you know, I don't even know where you go from here. Cause it's like, if you know, the way the lottery is structured now, even if you tank, it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, the Lakers got in the top three last year. After they looked like a playoff team for most of the season. I mean, they were, you know, there's no incentive to tank, in my opinion, anymore.
No. Because even if you get the pick you want, it doesn't even mean – it's not a guarantee of anything. We've seen that a lot of times. So I don't want to get too deep into the tanking aspect. But
yeah.
I guess my point is that the teams that you see, there are fewer teams outright tanking right now. And you do see some teams, even the bad teams, might give you a tough game from night to night. And we've seen it from a bunch of teams, like Charlotte and – man, this segue is trying to just bring itself to the fore without me getting to it. But seriously, like, there's so many good teams that have definitely come out and surprised a lot of people. So since we're on the topic, we may as well talk about your biggest surprises in the NBA so far. And I have three very good ones, and I bet you do as well. Would you like to reveal yours first, and then I'll do mine, or do you want to go the other way?
Sure. Yeah, I can start.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the obvious one, and it doesn't feel like a surprise right now, but you know, coming into the season, I think it, you know, I mean, the expectations, they weren't super high for this team, but they also weren't this bad, and it's the Golden State Warriors. Coming in, you know, they have they moved back to San Francisco for the first time since I think 1970, And, you know, we kind of knew that, you know, that they lost KD and they weren't at 100%. But then in the fourth game of the season, of course, Steph Curry breaks his hand in the game to Phoenix. And here we are. I mean, they've got two wins. I think they're 2-9 right now. We mentioned, I mean, Draymond Green has been out, missed a bunch of games. He played last night. Their two wins were to New Orleans, who also has two wins, and to the Portland Trail Blazers, who have been a major disappointment this year. And they're 4-6 right
Ooh,
now.
Ooh, you're going Blazers. Wow.
So I would say, yeah, I mean, the Warriors are number one. I mean, I think at some point in the offseason, you were looking at over-unders and you said, Chris, the Warriors are a 52 on the over-unders. And you were thinking about betting the over. I was
like,
man.
Yeah, well, that's right.
And I think I talked you out of it. And I'm not patting myself on the back, but I wasn't thinking this is a lottery team. I saw them as a probable playoff team, but just not 52 wins good. I mean, this was a team that won, I think, 57 last year. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was 15.
It was 57 because it was not 60. I remember.
Yeah, I think they were. I think. Yeah. So I wasn't, or maybe it was 59, but either way, I just wasn't looking at that team as maybe just, you know, a handful of wins worse than they were last year. I thought they would be somewhat, I thought they'd be in the high 40s. Let's put it that way. And they look like, you know, they look like they're going to be in bad shape. And it sounds like Steph, you know, probably isn't in any rush to come back. And like I said, you know, Dre's been sitting out. And so that's my pick, Golden State Warriors.
So they're your top disappointment. Okay, so that, you know, it's funny because I don't think the idea that they're not as good as they were last year is not the surprise at all.
Right.
But I think what you're saying is the degree to which they have fallen in such a short amount of time. And then when Curry broke his hand, and that just made it worse. And even before he broke his hand, they were looking terrible. So
they weren't looking good. And yeah, you're right. But I mean, there was one lineup. It was like Ty Bowman, Eric Paschal. I mean, it was like Draymond was out. I mean, the biggest name in the lineup was Willie Cauley-Stein. I don't honestly, Glenn Robinson. I'm trying to remember who else. It almost looked like a D League kind of lineup. It was weird. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
About them.
Yeah.
Who's your pick?
Well, do you have any other?
I think we'd alternate. Yeah.
We're gonna alternate. Okay, I didn't. Okay. Yeah, we're gonna alternate. Right? Yeah, I didn't. Okay, so I'll give you my number one, and it has to be the Charlotte Hornets. I thought they were gonna be one of the worst teams in the history of the NBA. I literally said that during a preview. And they're sitting here. I realize they're 4-6, but you got to understand. I thought they were going to be like 0-10 by now. This is completely blowing me away. And even when they lose, they're losing in competitive games. You got to give them a lot of credit here. Again, I think it's early. I do think they're going to have that really long losing streak soon. But what they have done so far is already exceeded my expectation by a lot. Like I thought of the four wins, I thought they'd probably have maybe one. So this is an extraordinary start for them. Some of the guys in question, the rookie PJ Washington, he's one of the dudes, Dwayne Bacon, Devontae Graham. These guys are all putting up pretty good stats. Like nobody's really stepping up with like, you know, like 30 points a game or 20 points a game, anything like that. But you're getting these guys getting you between 15 to 20 points every single game. And despite their bad defense, it's such a team that's just coming. And I don't know. And I really don't know how they're doing it. I just see the stats. I'm like, okay, they're all getting points. They seem to know how to score. And it's kind of baffling, Chris. I mean, we saw the game. I know you did. I certainly saw the ending of the game that they played, the game number one against Chicago. And they just scored like crazy and they won the game and beat the Bulls. And I was like, whoa, but that was just the beginning. So It's pretty crazy. I don't think this carries over. I think they're going to still end up being, you know, like a, at best, a 30-win team, but just even the 30 wins is way more than I thought. So this is blowing me away, Chris.
Yeah, I can totally see that. The one caveat I'd put in there, and they, you know, look, they're 4-6. That's probably about, I don't know. I probably had them pegged as a 21 team, so they're a fifth of the way there already. But the one caveat I'd put up there is that the teams they beat have been the Bulls, as you mentioned, Kings, who have been awful, the Warriors, who we just talked about, you know, the worst team in the league, and they beat the Pacers in overtime, which, okay, that one's kind of impressive, but they really, they got smoked by the Lakers and the Clippers, Celtics, and lost. No, it was a close game to the Sixers. So that's the only caveat I'd throw on there. But you're right. I mean, I'll tell you, I mean, they've been kind of fun to watch. That game against the Bulls, I think they hit like an insane number of threes. I want to say it was like 19 threes in that game. Let me just double check. 23 three-pointers in that game. It was bonkers. Yeah, I think they might have set a record for the team or something like that. I can't remember. But, yeah, I mean, they went off. And, yeah, I mean, some of these guys are fun. I mentioned Washington. You mentioned a few of the other guys, like Bacon. Graham has been really tremendous. I mean, he's just kind of out of nowhere, second-round pick. Yeah. And he's done a really good job. So, yeah, I like that pick. I'm not trying to throw water on it. Still think they're going to be pretty bad, but I
agree
think,
with that too, though. But in the end, I agree. I mean, they are going to be a bad team in the end, I think.
Yeah, but you're right. It is a legit surprise.
Because honestly, like, if you base it on what they were doing a year ago, and then you kind of like project, well, how are they going to even do that? Like even do the few wins they had a year ago, when they don't have any notable stars on their team at all. Like, Kemba was the only guy that was notable on that team, yeah, and he's not even there. So it's hard to imagine that. But the young guys, rookies, whoever it is, have pieced it together so far. But like you said, we're both on the same page here. It's like, it's a shock, but while it's a shock, it's not as if we were projecting them to make the playoffs all of a sudden either. So, time will, I think, even some stuff out.
Yep, I agree. So it's my turn.
Yeah, so you got your next one.
All right, my next one, and I've got the Suns-Lakers game on, and it is the Phoenix Suns. And a couple things about them. One, they've had a few nice wins, like legit signature kind of wins. They beat the Clippers at home, 130 to 122. Beat the Sixers without Embiid, but still, that's an impressive win. They still had their, you know, Horford and Simmons played, and they beat them, and that was an exciting game. And again, that was at home. And then more recently, they just, what was it? I think it was two nights ago, they beat the Nets, in which they had like almost 80 points at the half. I mean, it was just an abomination if you're a Net fan. I mean, I swear, you can score a will from them on the perimeter. I mean, they just do not guard out there. And it's kind of comical to me. But, I kind of surprised in the sense that I sort of liked what they did, like, in the offseason. I really liked them bringing in Rubio. I thought that was such a good compliment to Devin Booker, and just, you know, getting the ball out of his hands, just kind of freeing him up to for more catch and shoot, and just kind of, you know, giving him a little break. And then as you mentioned, Ayton getting pop for PEDs was kind of a blessing in disguise, in my opinion, just because I don't know. I feel like the Just the offense flows much better. And Aaron Baines, who I'm, as you know, I'm a big fan of, has been fantastic and just been a stalwart in the middle for them. And also kind of a good, perimeter shooter. He can hit the three when he needs to, which is kind of, it's comical to watch, but because he barely jumps when he shoots it. But just a fun team. Right now they're kind of like in the low playoff seedings, and it wouldn't shock me. Yeah, I mean, at 6-3 right now, they're at the sixth seed. It wouldn't shock me to see them in the playoffs. I don't know. I mean, we'll see. I mean, the West has been kind of topsy-turvy. There's been a lot, we're talking about surprises. Like, I could talk about disappointments. I mentioned Portland already. A lot of people are really high on Sacramento. Sacramento looks awful, and they lost De'Aaron Fox to an ankle injury. So that's not good. And so Sacramento looks,
they thought Sacramento was going to be great this year.
Not great, but good. I mean, they were almost in the playoffs last year. They were on the fringe. They were in the eighth seed or seventh and eighth seed for a good chunk of the season last year.
Right.
And then they kind of fell off.
Yeah.
They'd be one of my disappointments. I mean, a lot of people were high on the Pelicans. I mean, losing Zion, I mean, everyone's going to kind of cut him some slack. But the Suns are, I mean, arguably, like, in terms of positives, they're one of the bigger surprises in the NBA so far.
All right. Well, it looks to me like I think we're in agreement on the Suns, though. And that's why I didn't put it in my list, because I figured you were going to bring him up, too.
You knew that, right? Somehow you knew that.
Well, I think it goes back to when they beat the Clippers. Like, you were really, really, telling me about it. And I saw them beat the Clippers. I'm like, then I watched the next game and I'm like, whoa, these guys can score. This is a pretty good team. So, yeah. I mean, at least right now, it's a pretty good team. So it's if nothing else, they're entertaining, right? Like, they're an entertaining team. You did mention that their defense is poor, which it is. It's pretty bad. But you've got guys that know how to stroke it. And I mean, Booker is obviously the leader of that, but they got a bunch of guys. I mean, Rubio and Booker is a fun backcourt. There's no doubt. And
The Suns defense, I wouldn't say it's poor. It's kind of middle of the road.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in terms of defensive rating, they're 12th. So,
oh, okay. Maybe it's not as bad as I thought.
Yeah, no, they're not bad. I mean, they've actually kind of improved in that regard. And I think Rubio has been a big part of it, as has Baines. So,
right.
There's a lot to like about this team.
Yeah, definitely. So we were just mentioning that they're playing against the Lakers right now, and that looks like a good game.
I'm watching right now. Yeah, it's great.
Tied up at 67 in the third quarter.
Yep.
So there's a lot of game to go. So, but the only problem for the Lakers is that after that game, they got to play another game tomorrow, back to back.
What do they have tomorrow?
They're at home against Golden State. So can you believe I'm saying this? It's an easy opponent. Can you believe that? I'm saying it's an easy opponent. But it is. It's an easy opponent. I mean, it's 2019, and this is the way it is. I mean, but it's still a back-to-back, so I think that's going to be a sneaky game tomorrow for, I guess at this point you'd call them a veteran team, like the Lakers.
Dave, the Golden State Warriors are the worst defensive rated team in basketball by a lot.
Yeah, no, I saw that. Yeah, they really are. It's not even.
They're
close.
Really bad. I mean, the Lakers can sleepwalk and win that game.
I think they will. The guy that I'm going to be really interested in that game coming up tomorrow night, Wednesday night, is Kyle Kuzma, who just came off of injury. He didn't have a very good game against Toronto, but not a lot of people do. Toronto's defense is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to have a bigger game here against Golden State. I think he's due.
So is he like? I mean, he's not even starting. Like,
no,
he's
no,
like
he's
the sixth
player.
Man.
Yeah. Yeah, correct. He's coming off the bench strictly at this point. And I don't think there's a real argument there. I mean, you're basically saying, do you want him to start or do you want AD to start? Do you want him to start or do you want small forward or do you want LeBron to start? I mean,
You got to go Kuzma over Braun at this point. But AD, you have an argument.
No, I don't know. Yeah, but are you in the LeBron is washed up camp there?
No. You know me, Dave. I'm a huge LeBron fan.
Yeah, I know. It's true.
I'm enjoying this. I'm thoroughly enjoying this game. Like, the Lakers are so much fun to watch.
Yeah. You know, the one thing that that's been clearly identified with this team by a lot of people is their inability to shoot the three-pointer. And even though they've got a couple of good guys that can shoot the three, Davis is one. Danny Green is the other one. Those two definitely. KCP used to be able to shoot threes. I don't know what happened to him. He just fell off the face of the earth. But that's basically it. It's a pretty weak shooting three-pointer team otherwise, and we knew that was going to be a problem. So if you force them to shoot threes, Toronto did this on Sunday. They cut off the paint completely, which meant that there were no easy baskets for AD. There were no easy baskets for LeBron. Or who else? At that point, it would have been Caruso and other guys that could probably, you know, do a mid-range jumper or just drive the lane. It wasn't happening. So they were forced to shoot the three, and it was a bad third quarter for LA. So that's the one thing you got to watch for with the Lakers. But the thing about that Laker team, their defense is so much better this year, and everybody's doing it. LeBron's doing it. AD's doing it. Green's doing it. Avery Bradley's doing it. And how about Dwight Howard in this little comeback season playing amazing defense? I mean, who knew that he would have... How old is he now? He was 19 back in 2008. I guess he'd be like 32 right now, something like that?
Yeah, that seems all right. Let me just double-check that.
Let me double-check that. Yeah, I'd like to double-check that too.
Because he's been 33. He's 33 years old.
Okay, so I was pretty close.
Yeah.
But so it's really something to watch. Like, team defense has never been better on this team. Like, it is, every single guy is good at defense. Like, it really has made a difference thus far in the year. And I think that's why they're going to be, even if they're, you know, if they're not shooting well or what have you, they're going to be in every game. Like, they really haven't been blown out at all this year. I mean, can you think of a game? I think the only game that maybe they got blown out was maybe the first game against the Clippers. But even that game, I thought it was pretty close. They really haven't. I mean, they were getting blown out by Chicago and the Bulls at at United Center, but then they had an unbelievable rally in the fourth quarter and just took over the game, and then they won going away. So it's like the power of defense is amazing with this team. Was there a point?
Yeah, they haven't. They've only had two losses, right?
Two losses.
The Raptors and the Clippers. Yeah. I did not watch that Raptors game, and I just can't stay up.
But it was a bit of a rock fight, I'll say. It was like 98-87, I think, the final score. The Clippers won.
Oh, the Clippers? 112-102.
Wait, what?
Just the loss to the Clippers in game one?
Oh, no, the Lakers lost. Yeah, yeah. I was referring to when the Clippers played Toronto last night.
Oh.
You said you didn't see that game. Were you talking about the Lakers game?
Lakers-Toronto was last night, right?
Well, Lakers-Toronto was Sunday.
Or Sunday.
Yeah, and so they went out. They went out, but... Well, they basically hung around, and then they played the Clippers the next night at Staples Center. And so that's what I was referring to as a rock fight.
I was still talking about the Lakers. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Sorry. So you were still in the Lakers. Okay. Yeah. So the Lakers, the Lakers lost to the Clippers, and it was a relatively close game. And then they lost to Toronto. They did have a pretty bad defensive performance in the second half, but I think you attributed that to great coaching. Nick Nurse just, I don't know how he does it, but he was able to really exploit the paint in the second half, and you know, good on them. They played an incredible second half, and the bench was just great in that second half. I mean, Toronto was 4-0 after that game, but then they lost to the Clippers, so they are 4-1 against Western Conference teams in the early going. It is interesting that they're playing all these Western teams in the beginning of the season. Do you find that interesting, Chris? That's an unusual decision. I wonder if there's something behind that.
I don't know, but all I know is that I was suggesting that Toronto might get off to a bad start and maybe look to trade a Kyle Lowry or a Gasol, Marc Gasol, just based purely on the fact that they had a lot of road games early on.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they've played three home games so far, four home games.
And one for sure. I think I remember the one, but you're right.
Yeah, they played the Pelicans.
They've been on the road a lot. Like, this has been a long road trip. Like, they were in Portland. They were, yeah, they were.
I think
here.
They played Portland tonight, or no, tomorrow. Tomorrow they play Portland.
Oh, I'm
they
sorry.
Played
okay,
the
they played
Pelicans, Lakers, Clippers. Then they got the Blazers tomorrow, who don't win at home, and the Dallas Mavericks on the road. And before they had home to Charlotte, so it's a long stretch. And they've already played the Bucks on the road, and the Celtics on the road, which was one of their losses. But they've done a nice job. You're totally right.
Yeah, I'm very impressed. I did think it was going to be a down year for them, but when you say down year, what do you really mean? It's like 50 wins instead of 60. That's pretty much what I'm saying. Like, I still thought, I think I remember in the preview, didn't I put them in the top four? I thought I did.
In the East?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Maybe put them top three even. And then I told you that the Celtics were four. No. I said that the Lakers were four in the West. Sorry. But I did think they were good. I didn't think they were going to be a bad team at all. It's just, still a lot of good support players. And Lowry. And Lowry's hurt, isn't he? Isn't he still hurt?
Lowry's hurt. Yeah. And let me just check on that. But I know he got hurt the other day. And he didn't play. He didn't play against the Clippers last night. I don't know. I mean, I don't know when he's going to be back, but I know he got hurt like two nights ago. So, they've been great. And Siakam's been, you could argue Siakam's an MVP candidate at this point. The numbers he's put up, he's been fantastic.
He really has been great. That's a very good point. That's a very good observation because he's done it on both ends, right? Like, his defense has always been great. But he's putting up serious points. Like, he's been all over the court. Yeah.
Yeah. He's 26 points per game. Mm-hmm. His 3-point shooting is at 35%.
Yeah.
He's been a monster. I mean, he's been really good. I mean, it's almost like he learned something from playing a year with Kawhi Leonard, you know? Dave's rebounds are up almost 3 rebounds a game. His assists are up a little bit. I mean, he's been fantastic. I don't know. I mean, I was totally off base. Like, I thought, there's an outside chance they're going to be sellers this season, but I don't see that happening.
You know, they really have put it together. I mean, we probably need to give it another couple months to really know, but. It does look like a good enough team to make the playoffs again. I am very curious as to what they will do. Ujiri is going to have a very interesting decision in February or whenever the trade deadline is. It's a very interesting call for him. And I don't know if I'd kill him going either way. Like, if they trade guys, they do eventually have to get that next big guy. If they don't trade anybody, they could sustain some success. They could be a perennial, 45 to 50 win team, and that's not bad. So they have the championship. So it's really an interesting year for Toronto. So, okay. So that you have the Suns. Now let me get to my second, I said disappointment. It is a disappointment, but second surprise team, the New Orleans Pelicans. And this is a similar case of, it's not just what they've done, but it's a degree. I mean, I don't think people really thought they were going to be a top 5 seed or anything. Top 4 seed, let's say. But this team is awful, okay? This team has, like, decent players. They have, Lonzo Ball, who's hurt. He's always hurt. They got Brandon Ingram. Like, most of the guys from the Lakers, basically, right? They don't have Randall anymore. He's on the Knicks. But they have the other two. And it seems like a team that could put up some points, and yet they're 2-8. And the reason they are 2-8 is the same reason why the Lakers used to be a shitty defensive team. All those guys were shit defenders. Let's be honest. I mean, I think that Ingram was a good defender, but the other guys, no. Those were bad defensive players. And I do think that Ball was getting better on the defense, but he's not playing, so I'm not using him as an example. But that's a terrible defensive team. And it really just gives you an idea where it gives you an idea of how bad defensive players can comprise a bad defense. That's a fairly obvious statement, but a good defense starts with good defensive players. If your individual defense is good, on the Lakers side, you're talking about Avery Bradley. He's got been a good defender forever. Green has been a good defender forever. AD's been a good defender forever. Rondo, we talked about him already. Let's not get into that. But, you know, those guys have had a reputation for being good defenders. On the Clippers, you've got Kawhi, good defender. You have Patrick Beverley's just been defined by his defense, right? Montrezl Harrell, good defender. You know, these guys can play defense. On the Pelicans, you've got crap for defensive players. And that's why they are where they are. No, I realize that they don't have Zion Williamson, but I don't think that that alone should get you to 2-8. 2-8. And in some of those games, they really, you know, I've talked about how they're more competitive, but there have been some games where they have just not been competitive at all. They feast way too much in the three-point shot. When the three-point shot is not falling, they just keep shooting it. And it's like, guys, it's not working. Try something else. And they don't seem to know how to adapt. So I really do think that Alvin Gentry is going to be gone before the end of the season. I can't imagine him staying the whole season. There's no way. This is a very disappointing team. And I mean, it does seem like they should be better than 2-8. They're not a 2-8 team, but they're playing 2-8. But they are playing 2-8 ball. That says it in the standings. So their defense stinks. And I think they've got a lot of work to do to become a competitive team again. And I'm not saying that they were expected to make the playoffs anyway, but this is bad. Like, this isn't even, like, they're not even showing the effort sometimes. Like, I'm very disappointed. It is a very disappointing start to the season, Chris. So what did you think of the Pelicans?
Yeah, I agree. I would say that, well, yeah, you're totally right on the defense. They're, like, second lowest in defensive defensive rating behind the Warriors. But, yeah, terrible. Like, and you just can't, you know, you just can't, like, you can't sustain anything if you're, you know, you're giving up 120 points a game. The one thing, I mean, and I'll agree from this standpoint, too, is that, you know, there was – talk and I was even like sure that, you know, maybe they could you know, find themselves in a position where they're fighting for one of the lower seeds in the West, like an 8 or 7 seed, and that clearly is not going to happen. However, I if you're a New Orleans fan, you just kind of got to look at this realistically and think, look, the future is not probably not anyone on this team other than Zion. I mean, maybe one or two, maybe Ingram, maybe Ball, but it's really about Zion. And he's not here right now. And the whole thing with the Pelicans is just like, whatever they do now is gravy because they got all these draft picks. And so, I can totally see them as a disappointment because, like I said, I thought they could challenge for a playoff spot. But yeah, the defense kind of mystifies me because I didn't think they'd be this bad. I really didn't, and they've just been god awful. But I don't know. I mean, do you fire Alvin Gentry? You know, I feel like again, it's all the Lakers cast-offs. And
yes.
And I don't know. I mean, Ingram's been good. I really like watching.
I like Ingram too. I mean,
he's had some nice games.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And he's actually shooting the three a little better too, as it turns out. Yeah. So, yeah, he's been good.
Yeah, you weren't kidding. You were mentioning the Lakers' 3-point shooting, and that is a really good point because I was looking at their numbers and I was even thinking, like, Avery Bradley in the past has been, like, a pretty good three-point shooter. He was with the Celtics anyways. And, Danny Green shooting 40%. But, you know, Quinn Cook at 333, which is okay. And then Avery Bradley at 320. And then everyone else is below that. And it's just like, wow.
I mean,
it's still early. And, like, these guys, you know, LeBron – I would guess he's going to shoot better than what he's shooting right now. But they kind of got to pick it up there.
Yeah. And I don't know. The question is, are there players in the team that should be just simply shooting better? or do they need to get some help at the deadline in some other fashion? We knew that that was a deficiency even going into the offseason. So
absolutely. Yep.
I guess they didn't have a lot of options. Green is a great one, though. That's a great pickup. Like he's.
I loved Green. I mentioned him on our previous show. I thought it was a great fit for this team.
A tremendous fit. Tremendous.
Yeah,
fit.
I mean, just because he plays both sides. You know, he has that size I like out of a guard, you know, and, you know, I've always been an Avery Bradley fan, as you know. I mean, I still wear Avery Bradley Celtics shirt, number zero. Mm-hmm. And like I said, you know, he's kind of a weird fit just because, I mean, not a weird fit. I should say he's a, he's kind of a strange player because he's got the size of a point guard, but you'd never really play him at point because he just doesn't have that handle. And, but really, really loved his game. He made himself into a 3-point shooter with the Celtics. And, so, you know, I don't know. I always like watching him and I still kind of root for him, but yeah, you're right. I mean, that if I'm the Lakers, that's one thing I'm looking for. I don't know where you find that right now. I mean, I always thought like, maybe they'll get like a Kyle Korver, but I just didn't know, like a guy like that. I don't even know what he has left. I wonder if here's a guy. I wonder if they could pry Redick from New Orleans.
How would they
you know?
Do that though? Would that have to be a trade? Do you think that?
Oh yeah, it would be a trade for sure. But I don't know what.
That's tricky.
Yeah, I don't even know what they would have to.
Like, who would the Pelicans want? I think is my question.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, yeah, the Pelicans have everything from the Lakers right now for the next few years.
It's just like the Lakers are like the Pelicans are like the old Lakers, you know? Isn't it funny?
Yeah.
Like, it's too funny. One of the biggest problems with the 3-point shooting is the fact that they retained KCP. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope re-signing with them is dumb. Like, why? Like, I don't think he was that good anyway. I mean, at his best, he can be a good 3-point shooter. But he is miserable this year. Like
23% from three.
The guy, if he was on another team and he wasn't getting paid what he's getting paid, and I think he's getting paid a little less this year, but if it was any other team, he would get cut. Like he is not NBA quality shooter. He's not an NBA quality shooter at all this year. I think his star could have faded. Because I think he's what, 31, 32? Like you can't find another like 20-something, 28-year-old like shooter specialist kind of player. So I didn't really see the argument for re-signing him, other than just LeBron's agent strongholding them into it. But
yeah,
could you? I mean, why would they have done that 2 years in a row? I mean, I understand the first time, like, okay, that's your end at LeBron, which I still think is bullshit. But whatever, they did it. I mean, I guess it worked out because LeBron's here now. But it's still very irritating that they would go to him again. I just thought that was probably the one decision they made that was pretty bad. Like, it's been a pretty good offseason for the Lakers, especially when you consider it in context. The failed bid to get Kawhi, which, you know, it might have ended up working out. I think between the two, it would seem to me like Davis is a better fit for the Lakers than Kawhi with LeBron on it, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking at Casey. Sorry, I'm still on KCP's salaries last few years, and it's kind of jaw dropping because you're right. I mean, I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that they, you know, he has LeBron's agent, but that first year he signed with the Lakers, $17.7 million, Dave.
Yeah, that was rough.
Even last year it was $12 million. This year it's $8 million. It's almost 8 even, but
not one of those years was worth the money. Not one. Now,
yeah, it's like it was like kind of like salary balanced. I mean, they were just trying to fill up and maybe hope he gets hot and then trade him. But no. I do not get that at all.
No. It's just it was dumb. It was dumb GMing. Kind of collusion in a way too. Like I said, like it's like sort of like they strong armed him into signing him. Like what? What if you just told him to take a hike? What would happen? You know, oh, LeBron wouldn't sign with the Lakers? I mean, I think they would have probably worked something out. So, anyway, that's a big reason why I think it's in a bad spot, because they spent all that money, not all that money, but they spent $8 million or $6 million, whatever it is this year, to get him on the team, and he's doing nothing. So it's like, you know, you could get two players that could shoot for $8 million. Maybe one and a half, because I think, what is the veteran's minimum at this point? Is it like 5, 4, 3? What is it? I can't remember. But
I don't remember.
Yeah. I'm not a capologist, so I don't remember that stuff. But you get the idea. Like, you could definitely get better return for your money getting somebody else. So the re-signing of him, the extending him again, it just didn't make sense. And I'm like, whatever the reasons were, I just didn't think that was a good move. So that said, let's get to... Did you talk about the Pelicans already? I guess you did, like, comment on that. So let me get to your third of your surprises.
Oh, man. You know, I was going to go with the Celtics just because... Dave, I legitimately am shocked. I mean, they're the best record in the NBA right now. They've played a few tough teams. They played Mavericks. They played the Bucks. They played the Sixers. They played the Raptors. So they haven't had that big West Coast trip yet. But I don't want to come off as a homer, and I want to talk about them more. I mean, I'm really interested in this team just because the defense has been great. Hayward, before he broke his hand, was looking like the old Gordon Hayward. Jaylen Brown has taken a huge leap, in my opinion, and just looks like a star in the making. My third team, and this kind of goes in line with your Charlotte pick, is the Minnesota Timberwolves, currently at 6-4. No big signature wins. That's the problem, and that's why I compare them to the Hornets. Because their best win, probably the they won at Brooklyn. So that would be my, you know, that would be of all their wins, their six wins, that would be their, because the other teams have been Charlotte. I take it back. They won at home against Miami. Take your pick, Miami or Brooklyn. Miami's been very good, good defensive team. So that's a good job there. So surprising, because I thought this team was a mess. And Karl Anthony Towns has been solid as usual, like, you know, just one of the unsung stars in the league. The real surprise, in my opinion, has been Wiggins. And I've kind of crapped on him a lot the last few years and just talked about how overpaid. I mean, you talk about overpaid. Andrew Wiggins has been overpaid, but he's had a nice start, and he's run off like the last four or five games. You look at his stats; have been kind of eye opening. He's averaging like 28 points a game. His numbers almost across the board are up. His 3-point attempts are up. He's shooting better from three. Or no, actually, that's not true. He's shooting about the same from three, but he's getting to the line more. His rebounds are about the same, but everything else is up. Assists, steals, block shots. I mean, he's been fantastic. And so 24 years old now, and he got a max contract a couple of years ago. And excuse me, and maybe kind of turning the corner a little bit there. So let's keep an eye on the Wolves. I'm not like too high or too low. I'm more high on the Suns. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
But kind of surprised me, because I think I called them a garbage team in the opener, and they've kind of proved me wrong so far.
No, I agree with you on that. You know, the Wolves have been pretty competitive. Like, I think that Cat has put up some big numbers. I mean, I see the stats from Towns, and he's been very impressive, and he's really impressive for fantasy rosters. Surely, I don't think they have the mettle to compete in big games against big teams in a playoff setting, but in terms of just producing, they can do that. And I think that's a step in the right direction. Like, they weren't terrible. They aren't terrible like they used to be. So from that, and then Wiggins has been good too. Again, I don't think they have very good killer instinct. Either of them do, but they can put up the numbers. And I think that is at least something, you know, that's a good starting point. Like, it certainly beats being a team that can't score at all. You know, a team like Detroit, I'm going to just pick on Detroit. you know, it's so there's certainly a leg up on some other teams out there. Yeah. So anything else you wanted to add as far as them or shall
I? No, I mean, that's kind of it. I mean, yeah. I just, you know, I just kind of thought they've done a nice job and, I don't think it'll last. I think they're like a low 40s, mid 40s team, at best, but you know, you get these little pops early in the season and you're like, well, maybe something's going on there, but give them credit. I mean, they've come out and played pretty good basketball so far. So Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yeah, I'm digging that. I'm digging that. That's a good pick. So let me give you my third. It is the Cleveland Cavs and a team that I think a lot of people just assume is going to lose 50 games every year. Not the case. And I really have enjoyed watching them play. Surprisingly, like I said, the effort is there. And they're in a lot of these games. They would now be 4-6 because they just lost to the Sixers as we started our program tonight. But, you know, 4-6 is certainly four more wins than I think some people had them. Kevin Love, you know, I think people have forgotten about him, but he's averaging 18.3 points a game. Colin Sexton's looking pretty good in the second year. Jordan Clarkson, who was traded from the Lakers a couple seasons ago, I believe. And then the... two other guys, Tristan Thompson, who's been hurt for a lot of his career. He's having an incredible year this year. He is just dominant in the paint at center. He has been so good, so good. He gets it done with the points. He gets it done with rebounds. He's just been doing it all for the Cavs. And then there's a rookie, Darius Garland, who, as I mentioned off air, or even on air as we were starting up tonight, he's got a really good finishing move to the basket. He's pretty good. So, all in all, a very interesting team. And if nothing else, this team's entertaining. And I think that is one. That's why I feel like it'll be worth going to Cleveland Cavs games this year, unless they blow it up in the middle of the season or something. But, you know, it kind of took us for surprise, didn't it? I didn't think they'd be quite as competitive as they are. But, you know, John Beilein, you know, it was a questionable decision hiring him from you know, formerly of Michigan in college. And here he is, and he's got this team playing hard, so I got to give it to him.
Yeah, no, I mean, I watched the second half of the game tonight, and I was impressed, except for the last possession. Well, I guess the thing that interests me the most about Cleveland is just the fact that they basically spent back-to-back first-rounders on essentially point guards, and they're basically playing both of them at the same time. And there's a great deal of overlap there with Sexton and Garland. So something to watch, and I agree, like Garland can be fun to watch. You know, he's already played more games in the NBA than he did in college. So I think he only played like 5 games at Vanderbilt. So
that's pretty funny.
Yeah. But you know, they played a moderately difficult schedule. They lost the Celtics, they lost the Mavs, Bucks. So they played some tough teams. Big win was against Indiana, who's been kind of up and down in the early going. I think I had the Cavs and I definitely had the Cavs as one of the worst teams. I'm trying to remember who I had as the other really bad team. That's kind of surprised me. But the Hornets. The Hornets and Cavs were the two teams that kind of shocked me. So, good choice. I kind of knew you were going there, so I stayed away. So I wanted to try not to have overlap in our picks, so there you go.
I appreciate that, and kind of the similar gesture as the one I made with the Suns. So all in all, we've got a pretty good, you know, pretty good grouping of surprise teams. It's a good time. And speaking of surprises, just because we killed the draft pick at the time, Trae Young on Atlanta, he may not be Luka Doncic, but he has become the face of the Atlanta Hawks, and he's been doing great. Let me get your thoughts on Trae Young as he enters the second season.
Yeah, no, I still am, for the record, I still am higher on Doncic. I watched him last night, and he's pretty impressive how he can just kind of create his own shot out of nowhere, like with that step back, and just kind of launch it. But Trae has impressed me, and I already went to one Hawks game this year. Went with my son and like a school group, so I didn't get a really good, you know, I didn't watch it too intently because I'm trying to monitor the activity in the seats. But yeah, he is an extremely exciting player. You know, he can go for 40 any night. He's a better passer than I ever thought he was. I did not see him that much in college. I don't watch as much college hoops as a lot of people. You actually saw him in person one of his first games, if I remember correctly, in LA. I can't remember who did they play in that game.
Well, I think that was when he was in college. That was at Oklahoma.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
College. And I think it was Oklahoma against USC.
Was it USC? Okay.
And I think it was called the Wooden Classic, or not maybe not the Wooden Classic, but some kind of John Wooden slash. I don't know what it was.
That was early in his college career. Yeah. I remember you telling me about that. But I have to look at the draft again, but you know, I mean, it's got to be. You know, if you're not taking Doncic, it's got to be Trae, and they're even closer than I had originally thought. I'd still take Doncic every day of the week, but Trae. The one thing I worry about Trae, well, two things. One is he's just very small and he's kind of frail, it's kind of like, you know, watching Isaiah Thomas kind of throw his body around the court, and you're wondering, oh boy, you know, like this is taking years off his career. The other is just defense and, like, you know, with teams running picks, high screen roll, and he's just going to get caught and not be able to get through the screen. And it hurts Atlanta. It just hurts him defensively that you know, he's such a non-factor on defense. But you know, I think they've drafted wisely, getting DeAndre Hunter to pair with him, so we'll see how it goes. But yeah, he's very exciting. I actually haven't gotten any Hawks tickets yet this year, but I need to get on that and get to some games. But I saw them play the Spurs, and he made this one move on LaMarcus Aldridge, where he just kept, you know, he went down one knee. And kept his dribble and was just kind of testing. LaMarcus, you know, does not have the foot speed to keep up with him. And he just threw this pass to the cutting Bembry for a dunk, and the place just erupted. It was kind of fun. It was really exciting. Mm-hmm. Even though I'm not a Hawks fan, it was a lot of fun. So,
yeah, I got you there. I mean, that's the thing. He's not only just playing good basketball, but he's bringing the flair with him. And I think that kind of court presence is a big part of what makes a guy like that exciting. So it is pretty cool to see that. So, hopefully he holds up health-wise, and we'll see what happens for the rest of the season. I'll give you a little stat about Trae Young. On Monday, Young tied Michael Jordan for the most 35-point and 10-assist games over his first 90 games since 1983. So those two are the only ones who have done that in their first 90 career games. Pretty good.
Wait. So, what was the stat? How many games over 35 points? And
I don't know how many it is, but it just says the most 35 point 10 assist games. I should look up how many that actually was.
Oh, okay, I'd be curious to hear the numbers. That's interesting, though.
Yeah,
I mean, it's funny when you see a guy just come out of college and just start putting up these crazy numbers like that. It's like you almost expect like there to be like just kind of a progression, but. You know, like his regression happened the first year, and all of a sudden it was just like he's putting up 30-point games on a regular basis. Yeah, it's pretty impressive. I mean, he's just It was funny too, because I saw him the first, you know, this year, the game I went to against the Spurs, it was the first game he came back from that injury. And I think he was 0-for-8 from the floor early on. He started the game very slow. And, you know, which was understandable. He missed like 3 or 4 games. And then the second half, he was just unstoppable. And just, he's a joy to watch. He's a lot of fun.
The number is 4 games in 90 career games. That's really
35 and 10.
Yeah.
10 assists. Yeah.
I mean, there are going to be guys that go their entire career without doing that. So to have 4 within 90 games is really good.
I'm trying to think who else I would have thought might be up there. Like Chris Paul, maybe, or even Chris Paul. I wouldn't think he's like that much of a scorer. Like a LeBron, maybe. Like a LeBron. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's – I would definitely be – this is from Basketball Reference. Well, I'll just go to Basketball Reference. Let me look this up. You know why? Because I want to look it up here because maybe it'll tell me who the other guys are. Let's see. Yeah, LeBron's a good choice for that, I think, because to do the 35 points, I mean, a lot of guys can do that, but to do the combination of that with the assists is pretty good, so – definitely more rare. Okay, so you want to know who's third within the in this category over 90 career games?
90 career games, 35 and 10.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You wouldn't. Now, LeBron was a good guess, but he only has one. He only did that once in his first 90 games. Only one.
Huh.
Isn't that something? Okay. So in third place is Steph Curry.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, I should have thought.
And he has two. He has two of those.
Well, that's funny too, and that's like then the comparison, Steph and Trey, and coming up. Yeah.
But you're not going to believe who's tied with him.
5 and 10 assists. It's got to be a guard.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Man, I don't know. Who is it?
Doncic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, with two. So that's. Wow. That's pretty amazing. So,
well, it's not like I wouldn't believe that. I mean,
yeah, I guess it's a fair point.
You know, I don't know. I was looking for someone obscure.
Well, no, that was it. I thought that maybe you'd be thrown off by that, but no. But you're right. I mean, they're basically. It's really funny how they wind up being similar career paths so far over 90 games, like. Even though Trae Young has done it more times, to do it twice is still, you know, pretty much what you thought the potential was for somebody like Doncic. So there it is. He's got two tied with Steph, which when he did his 10 years earlier, still very, very impressive. And then after
one other. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just going to say that the other guy that has one is Sherman Douglas, who does anybody remember him? But. Still pretty cool that he was able to do it one time in 1990.
Was that with Miami? Must have been Miami, right?
Let's see.
He was on the Celtics too, but I think he was a rookie with the Heat. Yeah. So I would imagine.
It was Miami, yeah. Miami. Yeah. Good call. Anyway, you were going to say?
Just one other thing about Trey, since we're talking about him, is we were at the game and Trey was kind of shooting the lights out, but I started laughing. My son turned to me and said, why are you laughing? And I said, because his shot is just crazy. It's crazy that he gets that little push shot off. I mean, it's very unorthodox, especially for a small guy. And what it is he has such a quick release date that no one can block it. But he shoots like I told my son, he kind of shoots like you. Where he doesn't bring the ball over his head. He shoots kind of like from his chest. And he can get away with it because he just gets that release so quick and he's comfortable shooting it anywhere on the court. It's really something to watch. I don't know. It just made me laugh. And my son noticed I was laughing. It was kind of funny.
No, that's pretty cool. I mean, it's pretty neat you're able to pick up those nuances. So with that in the books, that's pretty much it as far as the main topics tonight. Is there anything else you want to talk about from the league?
Not really. No. I'm glad we got baseball behind us now, and college football, and we got like three more games, and you know, before the bowls and playoffs and all that. But college football is kind of winding down, and then my focus is just going to be on hoops, so it's starting to heat up. I mean, the countdown is until between now and Christmas to get those big games, and that's when it's kind of like the unofficial start of the season. But
well, for the casual fan, it's definitely
the start of the season. Sure.
Like, it's time for NBA to start, and it's like we've been watching it since October, but
yeah, exactly.
Everybody else is going to be like starting it in Christmas.
Dude, know? I've watched six Suns games. Where were you?
Exactly.
I really have. I've watched about four already. It's kind of insane.
But at least it's an entertaining team, right? I mean,
absolutely.
Like tonight's game, nobody's going to get on you for that. That's a good game. Like
it's fun, man. It's 109-108 right now.
Yeah, Lakers are hanging on.
Yeah.
I think some Laker fans are going to be really mad if they lose this game, but they shouldn't because the Suns 6-3, pretty good.
Yeah.
2 at home. Beat the Clippers.
They've done a good job.
Yeah. So, you know, it's not that shocking. So, all right, well, we'll leave it at that then. You know, Chris, it's been fun doing this program with you. And we're just starting. We'll do it again, you know, soon. It won't be next week, but maybe the week after. So, it should be fun. Enjoy all the games. And
thanks. Same to you. Thanks for having me. Yeah, let's catch up in a couple weeks. And, there'll be tons to talk about.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Okay, well, take care. Best to you and your family.
Same to you. Take care.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Chris. That's Chris in Georgia, and that's our show tonight. It has been a lot of fun talking NBA. It's been a while, so it was good to catch up on everything, and that should set the table for our series of NBA reports this entire season. Hope you enjoyed that. I'm Dave Medina. Once again, I just want to remind you that we have our top five episodes of 2017 special coming up next week on DivCow, and tomorrow it's our football picks show, week number 12 of our contest. Stay tuned for that, too. Hope you've enjoyed it. We're at DivCow on Twitter, on the web at DivCow.com, Apple Podcasts, Dave in the City Out West. We'll see you next time.